It's Jeep 4x4 season. Make your next adventure epic and hurry in now for great deals. And now, while qualified lessees get an ultra-low mileage lease on the 2023 Jeep Wrangler Willys 4xe for $359 a month for 36 months with $3,279 due at signing. Tax, title, license, extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution. A lease through Stellantis Financial. Extra charge for miles over $22,500. Not all customers will qualify. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/23. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It's heard Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group Long Island Community Affairs team right here at our studios on Long Island. I'm Valerie, your host for today's episode. Let me introduce you to our guests. We're speaking to the nonprofit today, Lodestar Children's Services. And I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. Hi, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us. We're very excited to be here. I'm James Regan, and I'm the founder and executive director at Lodestar.
And I'm Danielle Beck. I'm the program manager at Lodestar.
All right. Thanks for taking the time. Let's just start with, what is Lodestar Children's Services, and how do you help people? What is your mission?
So our mission is to empower children and families. So how do we do that? What do we do? We are an organization that provides in-home workers to children and teens that are struggling with mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. So we provide a variety of services to the child, and then also in some instances to their caregiver as well. And we have the goal of trying to keep youth out of institutions. So we want to keep them in their homes, out of psychiatric hospitals, out of group homes. We want them in their communities, in their schools, staying safe and supported where they are.
Mm. So preemptively, right? Before they get to that point?
In most cases, we get to be pretty proactive, preemptive, sure. Yeah. And that's a good thing in our field for sure.
Absolutely. What do you have any personal connection to this, or is it something you saw? You know, you went to college and you saw a need for the younger generation to utilize mental health services. Like, how did you come about doing this?
Sure. Well, I'm a social worker by trade, so I had spent 9 years in the juvenile justice system. Mm-hmm. So having worked with children that were in residential programs, I think prepared me pretty well. So when I left that setting and I started working in the homes, I just fell in love. I said, this is the good stuff, where, you know, there are children that need to live in group homes. There's teenagers that need those types of environments. But if we can keep them out of those places, most of the time it's better. And so that, I think, you know, my earlier career as a social worker, I think prepared me pretty well for Lodestar.
What, can you just clarify what a group home would be for kids and why someone would be there?
Well, there's a variety of different reasons, but a group home would be a residence with, you know, 10 to 12 youth, where the children are living away from their caregivers or their parents, where they might get visitation on the weekends or holidays, but their primary residence is going to be that group home placement. So they're going to be usually going to school in a different district. They're going to obviously be cared for by, you know, usually by good people, but by shift care employees working with around the clock coverage instead of a parent or a caregiver. So that's what a group home is. And you had another question. What was the other part of that?
Oh, so how, well, now I want to know, like, how does someone end up there? It's parents who, you know, I don't know how to handle this anymore, I need help, or is it something where the kid end up going to, like, maybe juvenile hall, and instead of...
There's going to be a variety of ways for children to get there, whether it be from maybe the caregiver cannot provide the proper support and care for them, and it could also be that, you know, maybe the environment, the school environment, or based on their medical necessity that they really need to be there. But again, I think that sometimes, you know, the way the system works is that that's what is known to be able to place children there. And a lot of services such as Lodestar aren't as well known, and getting that preemptive care and being proactive doesn't happen enough times. So making sure, you know, as much supports can get utilized beforehand really does end up helping keep those clients out of those homes.
Sure. Now, Daniel, you are the program manager. Yes. What kind of programs do you have there?
So on the program side, we have about 10 different services, and they're really going to have an array, but the main focus is going to be skill building. So okay. Whether it is working on communication skills, interpersonal skills, daily living, social skills, anger management, you know, we're really going to focus on a strength-based approach to every individual client we work with, and figure out which services best needs. So the names of the branches of services, I like to call them, are called home and community-based services, and as well as child, family, treatment, and support services. And under there, we have, you know, the different services that can be utilized for each individual client.
So how does it work? Does someone find you? Does a family find you? Or is it, you know, through a school, a teacher reaches out? Can somebody contact you just from off, like no recommendations, just like, hey, I need help. What can you do? Or does it have to be a series of events that lead up to getting to one of your programs?
So the two programs are very different, but one of the programs, it's actually quite easy to refer. And it's a beautiful thing where a family could self-refer if they wanted. School districts, doctor's offices, mental health treatment facilities. Those are places that are typically referring to us. The one thing that I'll mention that's important, at this point, a child needs to have Medicaid in order for us to be able to serve them. Okay. However, there are mechanisms for us to help enroll a child in Medicaid. So a child that wouldn't ordinarily be eligible for Medicaid, if their mental health condition is severe enough, they can be enrolled in Medicaid in order to get our services.
Okay, that's good to know. So you are a nonprofit. So we like to let people know where they can reach out if someone wants to make a donation. It's very important. What are your, what is your website and contact information for that?
Yeah, we definitely are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. Our website is www.lodestarcs, so that's Lodestar, C for children, S for services, .org. The donate link would be /donate.html. And we are funded by Medicaid, but we have historically relied on 17 to 20% of our budget consists of private donations. So we need community support in order to survive, very much so.
That's what's really, I love doing these Sunday shows. Again, you're listening to Plug Into Long Island today. We're talking about Lodestar Children's Services. So we just heard James tell us that he was a social worker and that's how he kind of got into this. Danielle, what was your background and how did this appeal to you?
So I graduated from college in 2020, which was right into the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I finished with a human development and family science degree, and fortunately had a lot of internships and opportunities to be placed in the field. And one of those placements was in a residential program like what James was working at prior to Lodestar. And being with those youth, I liked to be there, but every time I left, I was like, there has to be something that can be a little bit more proactive to keep children out of those places and keep them connected into the community and into the home. So from there, I was really lucky to stumble upon Lodestar. I did not know that services like this existed. I did not know that children can get mental health services for free, that there are ways to really be able to engage them in the community with supporting their mental health, and also having a fun twist of, you know, like, let's go do something fun, you know, let's take that, extreme structure and fear of asking for help away, and let's show them that it's okay to ask for help, and, you know, let's have fun with it.
I found that, there were some horrific things during the pandemic, but one thing I think people started to realize is we can't ignore mental health. I'm sure you found it was a little different. The pandemic, it changed maybe how you ran things, or how did it alter what you were doing, make it better or worse? Or what did you gather new information during that time frame?
I think we were actually fortunate, because a lot of the things that other organizations started doing during the pandemic, we were already doing. Mm. So we've always been very decentralized. I'm not sure there's many other nonprofits out there that just focus on these direct in-home services, because that's all that we do. By nature, we're decentralized. We want staff all over the island. We want staff in the boroughs, because we're now in Queens and Brooklyn. So
nice.
We were already doing Zoom before, you know. I don't know how many organizations were, but so, you know, we definitely had challenges. We had plenty of things we needed to adapt to, you know, most notably, you know, having to try to help staff deal with their increased stress and uncertainty, while also dealing with children and families' increased stress and uncertainty. Adapting to telehealth was a very big challenge for us. Like, hey, man, I'm used to meeting with this 7-year-old in person, and this child's very energetic, needs to be kept busy. What am I going to do on Zoom to try to replicate what I was doing in person? So that's an example of the type of things we had to adjust to.
Right.
As did the rest of the world.
Yes. So you're doing something very important. Now, do you have a relationship with Child Services? Because I know from what I hear, they're always overrun, they're understaffed. So do you have any sort of alleviate anything from them? I know you're nonprofit and you're subsidized through donations and from I forgot what you said before.
Medicaid. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. Is there any sort of working together or no?
Yeah, you know, we're overseen by the Office of Mental Health and the Department of Health. So there's, you know, there are a lot of county and state stakeholders involved in the work that we do that are, you know, monitoring us from a regulatory and compliance standpoint. But also, you know, it's not uncommon to get a phone call for, hey, you know, we have a child that's been waiting for services. What can you do to help? I think.
Right. That's what I meant. I didn't want you to take that as like I was insulted. Mm-hmm. I was like, you are there to help. Like they seem like they're always understaffed. So you're a entity that, like, you know, that's why, you know, is asking. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's nice to hear.
Right. Yeah. And then there are, you know, it's a mixture of private and public entities that are doing the services themselves. But they're, you know, there's definitely a lot of government agencies that we work very closely with.
And you had your milestones for mental health walk last year. And I know, are you doing that this year? And like how, you know, and I was reading a little bit about it. You carry rocks, like figurative, like literal rocks.
We carry literal rocks. For each client that we were actively serving, I want to say last year was about 120 clients.
Okay.
We walked together and carried 120 rocks. And the idea behind that was that mental health tends to have a lot of weight on our clients and the world itself. So with each mile we take, we're going to drop down some rocks in hopes that our services lessen the weight that mental health has upon our children that we are working with. And it was an amazing time.
Really. Now, are you doing that this year as well or something different?
You know, we're a little late in solidifying our May event. But we are shifting away a little bit. As great as that event was, it was kind of a COVID compromise where we felt we wanted to do something virtual for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we're this year we want to get back to doing something that's a little bit more participatory for our supporters. The fact is, our supporters help us regardless of what kind of event we do. We're very fortunate in that way because they're donating to the cause, but we want to give them something that they can come out to and be a part of. So we've got a few ideas in the works, and the Save the Date should be coming out soon. But we like to do a May event because it is Mental Health Awareness Month.
All right. Well, you're trying to create a recreational, I have to say that very slowly, a recreational facility. So you're based in Bohemia. Would that be there, or you're still kind of figuring out what you're doing?
So the challenge of being all over the island and now in the boroughs is to have something that's accessible to as many of our families as possible. So Our best midpoint seems like it's Western Suffolk. So, you know, while we're open, and we're not rushing the process, mm-hmm. We're probably going to land somewhere in Western Suffolk, close to the highways. So we're still shaping that. And the goal is to be in a new space by the end of 2023.
What is your idea of a recreational facility? What are you going to have there?
So the beauty of our program is most of the magic happens like one-on-one. Like that's really where you get the breakthrough conversations with our kids. However, we would like to be able to do group programming. So to have space to, you know, the vision would be to kind of have a library set up, some computer stations, a pool table, ping pong, stuff like that. Mm. And then also space to do stuff, to do more programs for the caregivers, as well as get the staff together for more trainings. The staff have a huge desire to meet with one another, compare notes, and bounce things off of each other. And, we're employing 85 people now. So you're talking about not just space, but parking spots. It's a real challenge within our budget.
Well, don't do it next to Queens, because I want to point out Roxanne. She's your intern. I do tons and tons of interviews with the 501c3 nonprofits, and no one's brought their intern on. I like that she hasn't said anything, but you kind of give her a voice. You're letting her kind of experience this. Do you have, are you taking on interns or volunteers? What's that? How can someone sign up if this is something they'd like to go into or get more experience?
After I answer that, I'd love to give Roxanne the chance to share if she's willing. But to answer your question, I would say, we're always looking for help. When I first started this thing, I said, oh, maybe I'll get some retirees that would be willing to give back. And it's a hard job for a retiree. There's nothing easy about it, but I still think that maybe that type of thing could work. But our volunteers generally center on helping us with event planning as we approach fundraising season, to be helping out with the lead up and then also just making sure the event day itself goes smooth. But we had a lot of successful intern experiences and we are always hiring. Hiring in this job market is a challenge. Mm. Particularly, we're trying to hire licensed mental health professionals, and it's good for my profession that there's a lot more opportunities nowadays for someone in my field, but it makes it a lot harder for Lodestar to attract talent. So one way to help us in a concrete way, if you know somebody that's looking to get their start in this field, there's no better first experience in the mental health profession. And we're always looking for people with big hearts that want to try to make a difference in the lives of our youth. So Roxanne, did you want to share a little bit about your experience? Or?
Yeah, I'll say a few words. So I've been an intern at Lodestar since September. I'm a grad student at Stony Brook School of Social Welfare. So I'm going for an MSW right now. And I'm doing this as kind of like my clinical hours, but basically I love Lodestar's mission and what they're doing. Similar to Danielle and James, I had also worked at a residential center during my undergrad, which kind of got me involved with youth, and it solidified, my passion for working with youth. As much as, meeting with my clients and helping them and being able to like be that person for them, like they motivate me too, like to like get out there and see the progress they're making and how motivated the kids are to really just, ask for that help and, get better and do things and get involved in the communities and see things that they wouldn't necessarily be able to do without Lodestar. So, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for, that's your passion. You're a lot younger than I would say all of us. So it looks like, your generation is, coming up. Mental health is very important and they recognize it. So I love that. We're probably coming up on time now. So do you want to add anything real quick?
I mean, the big plug that I give is if we're talking purely from a investment perspective. We want to invest in our youth. You know, nobody would argue with that. But investing in a youth through Lodestar means, you know, the taxpayer is paying about $1,000 a month to help serve a child in our program. And the alternative is you're adding lots of zeros to that when you're talking about residential care or psychiatric hospitalization. And those places end up being reactive. We talked in the beginning about being preemptive, right? So we're reaching kids earlier and younger, and we're giving them support in the place where they can most use it, in their own home. So a psychiatric hospitalization doesn't empower a child with any tools that they can use in their home most of the time.
It's like a Band-Aid, would you say? Kind of like
a deep dive
of issues or solutions.
Yeah, they're looking to stabilize the child and send them home where the child will still need the help. So for a fraction of the cost, we're giving them tools that are going to be invaluable. And it's, again, of course, I'm biased because it's what I do day in, day out, but it's a program that works. And there's a lot of programs out there that don't see the success rates that we do. And in-home children's mental health services sees a great success rate. So it's one of the reasons why I love it. And one of the reasons why I would suggest putting your support behind it. There's a lot of great charities out there, but if you're looking for an area that really has a high need and a high return, I don't think you can find anything better.
And that's why we need Lodestar Children's Services. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. I learned a lot. And of course, we didn't even talk about everything, but that's next time. Thank you so much. And you have been listening to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBIB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It airs Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group Long Island Community Affairs team right here at our studios on Long Island.
It's Jeep 4x4 season. Make your next adventure epic and hurry in now for great deals. And now, while qualified lessees get an ultra-low mileage lease on the 2023 Jeep Wrangler Willys 4xe for $359 a month for 36 months with $3,279 due at signing, tax, title, license, extra, no security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease through Stellantis Financial. Extra charge for miles over $22,500. Not all customers will qualify. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/23. Jeep is a registered trademark.